Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members, Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the Appropriation Bill 2006-2004. Mr. Speaker, it is the first time in the last 9 years that I have been afforded the opportunity to contribute to the debate at this very interesting hour. I will do my best, Mr. Speaker, to endeavor to keep my colleagues around the table awake at this witching hour, and so to enjoy your patience for but a little longer. A little longer. Mr. Speaker, a key feature of Budget 2006 is that it emphasizes leadership and judgment as central factors in our continued march towards securing a better life for our people. The Minister of Finance, Mr. Speaker, was confronted with a scenario where for short-term gain, he could have constructed a so-called election budget characterized by giveaways and other concessions, which this country at this time could not afford. The Minister of Finance, Mr. Speaker, could have put self and party before country and attempt to dupe the electorate into a false sense of security. Mr. Speaker, he could have promised gold, frankincense and myrrh, not knowing where they would come from. But he chose the straight and narrow path, the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, in spite of the election season in which this budget falls, opted to remain fiscally prudent with the management of this country's slender resources. And that, Mr. Speaker, is the hallmark of a great leader. Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Finance sought not to impress, but to educate. He sought to sensitize the people of St. Lucia to the reality of the social and economic challenges confronting our country, and thereafter he attempted to address all the pressing issues of concern to residents through the length and breadth of our society. In assessing this package of measures, the people of St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, would do well to reflect upon the challenges and options confronting any Minister of Finance who sat at this time to prepare a budget. Honesty and sincerity are characteristics not widespread in public life today. The people of St. Lucia must therefore reflect upon the fact that we are fortunate to have a leader who is willing to call a spade and who will remain fiscally prudent even in what can be described as silly season. Notwithstanding individual gripes and concerns with respect to our own social and economic status, none in this country can deny that St. Lucia and St. Lucians have made great strides over the past 9 years. We have progressed, Mr. Speaker, in every sphere of social and economic activity. As a country, we have set ourselves goals, and as a people, we have achieved the vast majority of the goals which we set ourselves some 9 years ago. This St. Lucia Labour Party government, Mr. Speaker, has achieved as much as could reasonably have been expected within the framework of the challenges and roadblocks that we have been confronted with. The leadership of the St. Lucia Labour Party administration was tested going into this budget cycle, and the country saw for themselves once again the depths of intellect and analysis that influenced the structuring of the package as presented by the Minister of Finance on Tuesday evening. So we saw, Mr. Speaker, 2 days ago, a leader and a minister of finance, dissecting the issues and advancing meaningful and practical solutions to each of the challenges as we outlined that are confronting our society. Mr. Speaker, we did not see wanton politicking. We did not see character assassination. We did not see any rambling and irreverent diatribe, Mr. Speaker. What we saw, Mr. Speaker, on Tuesday evening was tried and tested leadership at its finest. And I thank Mr. Speaker, listening through the course of today, to the contributions to the debate. And once again, Mr. Speaker, I wanted to ensure, and I was happy that I did not sit on the other side. Because, Mr. Speaker, if honesty and sincerity were to prevail, the members sitting on the opposite side would themselves have to admit that this was, again, a good budget. And so, Mr. Speaker, they found themselves in a difficult position because as I listened to the members of the opposition who spoke today, somehow it brought me back to last year because it almost sounded, Mr. Speaker, like a recording of last year. And so, Mr. Speaker, I wondered for a moment that probably what could have happened to them is that they were shocked and stunned by the presentation of the Prime Minister because they expected probably to be able to come here this year and say that this is an election budget. But they could not stand and say that, Mr. Speaker, because the Minister of Finance did not do that during this year. And so it is very unfortunate, Mr. Speaker, I call it unfortunate, that the member from Nipu North stood and spoke about his constituency and sought to almost complain about things that were happening in his constituency. And Mr. Speaker, to my amazement, I was taken aback because I know very well that during the last financial year, one of the major beneficiaries of social programs and activities was the constituency of Nipu North, Mr. Speaker. Was the constituency of Nipu North during the last financial year, period 2005-2006. In Nipu North alone, my ministry spent over $790,000 in the provision of social services and social activities to Nipu North, Mr. Speaker. I will remind the member of Nipu North that it is during this financial year that the Nipu Multipurpose Center, some $320,000 was spent on rehabilitating that center. It is in Nipu North, Mr. Speaker, that the community steel plant project has been underway and now the people and the young people of Nipu North have a steel plant project costing over $80,000, Mr. Speaker. It is in Nipu North, Mr. Speaker, that the Monreport Sewing Income Generating Project for Persons with Disabilities was undertaken, some $30,000. It is in Monreport, Mr. Speaker, in Nipu North again, Mr. Speaker, that we spent money to implement a correct project. That project is a project that brings computers into communities. In Nipu North, Mr. Speaker, and I listened to the member for Nipu North this afternoon, and I was taken aback. It is in Nipu North that the Basic Needs Trust Fund have ensured that the residents of Jabatis Road who live on that street now have a road. So the opposition is engaging, Mr. Speaker, in dishonesty. And so I say to the people of St. Lucia that you must listen carefully because I realize that the opposition in their attempts to reply to the budget have had to go back to last year. And in not finding anything there, they have now had to engage, Mr. Speaker, in dishonesty. Mr. Speaker, the member for Nipu South, Mr. Speaker, I heard him speak and I will come to that a little later, but I am conscious that the night is late. But Mr. Speaker, the member for Nipu South has a lovely saying he likes to say, they want money in their pockets. They have no money in their pockets, Mr. Speaker. He said that last year and the year before and after that. But Mr. Speaker, we come to a point in time in this country where what is important is the development of our St. Lucia. And what is important is that our leaders and our representatives say to the people people of this country what things really are and how things really are. He spoke about the banana industry, and they make a big set of noise, Mr. Speaker, about the heyday of bananas when people had money in their pockets. And so I say to them, if in the heyday of bananas in the late 80s and early 90s, people had money in their pockets, then it is as a result of your bad policies that today they don't have money in their pockets. And it is the difference of this Senusha Labour Party administration that sends the people of this country today that there is no quick fix to the issue and reality of poverty that we unearthed in this country. We were the ones who came in and realized that we had an issue of poverty to deal with. And I remind the member from Miku South that in 1995, under the leadership of his administration, his government, when a country poverty assessment was carried out, Mr. Speaker, to say to their administration that there were real issues confronting the society that was swept under a debt. And it took this Labour Party administration to implement policies and strategies to deal with the issues of poverty in this country. And so when you speak about poverty, Mr. Speaker, what we say is that in eradicating poverty, we must educate our people. We must provide our people with good health services. We must create an enabling environment. We must ensure that our children go to school. And we must teach our children that there is no quick fix, but they must engage in activities of education so that tomorrow they would not be in a situation of poverty. We are building a country for tomorrow. We are ensuring that within the next 10 and 15 years that we would not say to them that you have a dollar in your pocket today and you don't have it tomorrow. That is the type of administration that this is. And that is the way in which we can deal realistically with the issues of poverty that are confronting our society. And Mr. Speaker, we all know that the real answer to poverty is not any quick fix. And so the members on the other side must listen carefully to what they say to the young people of this country, because we on this side, we say to them that we will educate you. We will teach you how to make a living for yourself so that tomorrow you can provide for yourselves and your families. We're not going to engage, Mr. Speaker, in just talking and dropping words here and there, because I hear a member from Miku South say that all the time. And it is sad, Mr. Speaker, because we know the reality that is facing our society. And in today's world, we understand that if we are the society to come out of the shackles of poverty, we must do it in a realistic, systematic, and a determined way. And this is precisely what the Minister of Finance did when he reacted to the issues that are confronting our society. So he's invested again in the young people of this country. He said to the NDC that I am giving you another $2 million to ensure that within the coming weeks, you get another 700 young people trained. And that, Mr. Member of the Opposition, is money in the pockets of young people. That is how you do it. He said, Mr. Speaker, to the Ministry of Health that I am giving you money to ensure that you get the UHC program so that our senior citizens can have access to decent health. That is money in their pockets, Mr. Speaker. He said to the Ministry of Education that you must ensure that every school child, every child in this country can go to school so that you educate them and the children of our society can be freed of the shackles of poverty. That's what he said in his budget presentation, Mr. Speaker. And so there is no quick fix to the issue, and we must stop telling our young people otherwise, or else we will be in trouble as a society in the years to come. And so, Mr. Speaker, I say that our leaders set out clearly the conditions that obtained and the challenges that confront our nation when he spoke on Tuesday evening. Budget 2006 reflected an awareness of and an appreciation for the issues of concern to every sectoral interest in St. Lucia. There was an attempt, Mr. Speaker, to address the issues of concern of the young, of the old, of the lame, and the able-bodied. A concerted effort was made to address the issue of crime and lawlessness, and antisocial behavior, a much talked about issue in our country today. He did not sweep that under the carpet, but he made a deliberate and concerted effort to indicate the policies of the government over the last few years, but yet a determination to keep finding new initiatives to deal and tackle with the real issue of crime in our country. There was an effort in this budget to address current economic realities and matters impacting on the future sustainable development of our country. And so tonight, Mr. Speaker, I say that the residents of this country must reflect upon the achievements and compare it to what could have been obtained under would-be and wannabe leaders. Which other leader, I ask on this occasion, would have set forth a thorough and honest assessment of the challenges confronting our country? I ask which other leader would have resisted the temptation to invest in short-term politicking, which could have had disastrous long-term effects for our country? I ask again, Mr. Speaker, which other leader in St. Lucia at this time could have been relied upon to address issues of concern to citizens in a meaningful manner and still not jeopardize the long-term financial interests of this country? That is the question, Mr. Speaker, that the people of St. Lucia must ask and answer as they ponder upon the way forward and also into whose hands they will commit this country for another 5 years. That is the real question. And so tonight I submit, Mr. Speaker, that this country has indeed come a long way over the past 9 years. We have made considerable strides, and we cannot afford at this time to turn back the hands of time. Mr. Speaker, this country is at a crucial stage of its development, and 5 more years and its structure would have significantly been completed. The truth is, over the last 9 years, we have dug the foundation, we have passed the floor, we have built the walls, and we are now up to rim beams. This is a crucial stage in the construction process, if you want to put it in that context, Mr. Speaker. And so we cannot afford to change the foreman and the work team at this point. We need to finish the process that has been started, a foundation well laid. And so I appeal to all St. Lucians to ponder carefully on the precarious point at which we find ourselves. At rim beam, Mr. Speaker, level, we can go forward. We can affix the roof and complete the building, or we can falter at this stage, tear down the structure, dig up the foundation, and go back to where we were, barren land and no construction plan. I say, Mr. Speaker, that we can't do that. That the option and challenge confronting St. Lucia, as we ponder the way forward, Mr. Speaker, we need to move forward in the direction as indicated by our Minister of Finance. I spoke earlier of the measures in this budget that impact nationally and also at the community level. At the national level, there are several initiatives in this budget and others that provide for the estimates of expenditure that will impact directly and positively on the work of the Ministry of Social Transformation. Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to lead that ministry, and over the last year, the Ministry of Social Transformation has been able to continue to fulfill its mandate of directly impacting on the lives of people through a number of interventions and a number of programs and activities. Our social development and poverty eradication agendas have emphasized, Mr. Speaker, three simple strategic objectives. Our objectives have been, over the last few years, and a concentrated effort in the last year, to ensure the provision of sustainable economic opportunities at the community level, to ensure more meaningful ways of empowering our people and communities, and the promotion of social integration, individual self-esteem and cultural identity, and the promotion of universal access to infrastructure and services. I am sure, Mr. Speaker, as you've listened to the various contributions during today and certainly during tomorrow, you will hear from the various representatives for themselves the contribution of the various social agencies to the delivery of specific infrastructural and social services to their own constituencies. And so, Mr. Speaker, these strategic priorities are consistent with the priorities as articulated by this government, particularly in respect to poverty reduction, investing in human resource development, and the provision of quality community services at the infrastructure development level. And so, Mr. Speaker, if you permit me, I will just highlight a few of these initiatives as has been undertaken by my ministry through the various agencies during the last year. Mr. Speaker, for us to undertake a realistic and true picture of what is going on in our society today, it was decided that another country poverty assessment should have been undertaken to give us a real idea of what was happening at the community level. And so, during 2005, a program designed to determine the extent and severity of geographic distribution of poverty, that program is now nearing completion. And that program took into account a survey of living conditions within our communities, a participatory poverty assessment, which really gave the ministry an idea of an analysis of the poverty levels that exist at communities. How did we do that, Mr. Speaker? We engaged focus groups and brought together persons from various communities to get a good sense, Mr. Speaker, of what the realities were for people living in rural and urban communities. Mr. Speaker, that exercise is nearing completion, and the findings of that 2005 country poverty assessment will be utilized during the period 2006-2007 in the implementation of some of our programs. I say so, Mr. Speaker, because it is important to understand that social development cannot take place in isolation. It must take place against the backdrop of information. It must take place against the backdrop of needs, against the backdrop of priorities. And that exercise, the country poverty assessment, has assisted the Ministry of Social Transformation and all of the social agencies falling under the government's responsibility. It has directed and guided them in terms of setting clear priorities as we go during the year. Mr. Speaker, as I indicated, I would use some of the agencies to highlight the work of my ministry and how we sought to reach our priorities during the last year. One of the very important strategic priorities for the Ministry of Social Transformation was to create employment at the community level. And so, Mr. Speaker, I take you on a journey to the James Belgrave Fund, where during the year 2005-2006, we sought to build on the achievements of the last 4 years and an approval of some 73 new loans to young entrepreneurs was given by the Bell Fund during 2005-2006. Mr. Speaker, in reality, that means some 150 persons engaged in direct employment. What that did, Mr. Speaker, is that it brought to date the number of loans given by the James Belgrave Fund 465 over the last 4 years. These loans, Mr. Speaker, are real loans that have gone to ordinary solutions at the community level to get involved in micro enterprises, a strategic priority for the government to create sustainable employment for people in communities through the length and breadth of this country. We have spent some $5 million invested in the young people of our country. And in 4 years, Mr. Speaker, almost 470 loans from the James Belgrave Fund alone to poor people in this country. During this year, Mr. Speaker, we anticipate that we would disperse another 80 loans at the community level, and those persons would get involved in a myriad of businesses, in their dressings, internet cafes, mini marts, Mr. Speaker, restaurants, fast food, auto body repairs, woodwork and joinery, fishing, Mr. Speaker, lawmaking, all of these are types of businesses that young St. Lucians are getting involved in. And we're not just giving them money, Mr. Speaker. We're assisting them, we're training them, and we're creating linkages for them so that they can build on what they're doing and so that they will have money in their pockets, Mr. Speaker, tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, because we understand the way that we must invest in them in a long-term way. And so, Mr. Speaker, I just want to add to that, that according to the World Bank calculations, for every micro-enterprise loan that is disbursed, almost 2 jobs are created. So if you multiply 470, Mr. Speaker, you can do the mathematics, and you will see the direct multiplier effect that is taking place just with this James Belgrave program. And so, Mr. Speaker, I commend the workers of the James Belgrave program. In addition to that ongoing project, there is a special component of the James Belgrave program that is targeting young entrepreneurs between the ages of 15 and 35. And so if you're a young St. Lucian today and you have an idea and you want assistance to build on that idea, you can walk into the office of the James Belgrave Fund. You can sit there and talk to somebody, any St. Lucian, no matter where you're from, and you will get real assistance to start your small business. Mr. Speaker, I move now to another agency under my portfolio, the Basic Needs Trust Fund, Mr. Speaker. Again, reaching out to communities and assisting in a very real way. Earlier, the member of the opposition from Miku North, I believe, indicated and was concerned about the length of time that some projects take to be implemented. Mr. Speaker, the truth is that sometimes the process tends to be long, but there are reasons for that, and we must explain what it is. In the first instance, Mr. Speaker, the work of the Ministry of Social Transformation does not just entail going into a community and dropping a project there. We believe in the participatory approach, where our people are engaged with the government to implement projects and programs that can benefit them in a real way. So they are part of the process, Mr. Speaker. And so when you go into a community and you're seeking to implement a project, there is a process of dialogue, of engaging, of talking to them, of asking them what they want, how they see things, how they would like it to be done. After that is done, Mr. Speaker, many of these agencies, particularly the Basic Needs Trust Fund, is funded largely by the Caribbean Development Bank. And the truth is, Mr. Speaker, the Caribbean Development Bank has specific guidelines for how monies are disbursed. So there is a process that must take place, but the end result is that the fastest run in Miku North that the member got. Yes, there was a process, but the result is a tangible benefit to the people of those communities. Mr. Speaker, during the year under review, the BNCF saw the approval of some 32 projects. Some of those have commenced. Some of them are at the contract stage. And just to give a quick indication of some of the projects, in the area of water, Mr. Speaker, the BNCF is making a very significant contribution, supporting the work of both the Ministry of Communication and Works and the work of WASCO. But our approach, Mr. Speaker, is to go into small communities and find tangible ways of making a realistic difference with the issues that confront us as they relate to water supply. And so I speak of the Bizay Northrop Water Supply Project, which is going on right now. I speak of the Earth Lavedi Water Upgrade, which is in train and will be happening later this year. I speak of the Gadet Water System Upgrade, Mr. Speaker. The member of Denry North may be familiar and aware of this. And Mr. Speaker, I mentioned as well, Mr. Speaker, the Forest Care Water Supply Project, which is a very important project to the people of Forest Care. For very many years, Mr. Speaker, the people of that community have experienced a very serious problem with water. That water supply project will ensure that there is a new water tank which will be put in for the people of that community. At present, Mr. Speaker, The capacity of the water tank in a community like Forestier is 20,000 gallons. We're thinking about the future, Mr. Speaker, and so this new project will put in a water tank for the people of Forestier in the area of some 100,000 gallons, which is, it is expected, Mr. Speaker, to supply over 715 consumers. It will also include line extensions and upgrade. What is happening, Mr. Speaker, I may just take a moment to indicate that because of this water supply project, a present important road project, which is going on right now in Forestier, has been delayed because we want to ensure that we can lay the pipes and do the necessary groundwork so that we would not, Mr. Speaker, have to go back months or a year later. So what the Ministry of Communication and Works have done in conjunction with the BNCF project is that they are collaborating to find a meaningful and realistic way to achieve a dual objective. And so within the next few months, hopefully, Minister of Communication and Works, we would have been able to complete both the water project and that road project for the people of the Forestier community. And so, Mr. Speaker, that will be a major achievement for the people of that community as they have suffered with that for many years. Still in the BNCF and the skills training, we have provided support to the Upturn Garden Center, Borderway Correctional Facility, Mr. Speaker, the Grand River Combined School, the Boys Training Center. Again, in the area under the BNCF, we have also engaged communities in access projects, footpaths, Mr. Speaker, and construction of small roads. Some of those have been undertaken in places like Cooley Town, two of the roads in Cooley Town, namely Field Lane and Indian Lane. In Bishop's Gap, Mr. Speaker, a footpath and drainage construction project is expected to be underway shortly. That project in Bishop's Gap is expected to cost in excess of $300,000. A long-awaited project in Baka there, Mr. Speaker, that's in Beaufort. We have worked on this project tirelessly, and I look forward to the day, Mr. Speaker, hopefully very soon, when we can start that project in Baka there, Beaufort. Another very important project, Mr. Speaker, is a project in Monkey Town, in Cicero, and Bruceville Relief Road, Mr. Speaker, is actually ongoing as I speak. Mr. Speaker, we realize that the alleviation of poverty and the reduction of poverty is holistic and well-rounded, and so the work of the BNCF extends to the area of education and health, and some of the projects undertaken and to be undertaken during the coming year include the Cul-de-sac Daycare Center expansion, support to the Anglican Infant and Primary Schools, support to the Forrester Combined School, and support to the Forsyth Jack Combined School for expansion. In the area of public health, the BNCF is supporting the work of the Ministry of Health by providing renovations to facilities, public facilities in Anstey. So the people of Barron's Drive, Mr. Speaker, their public facilities there will receive some attention. Access road and rehabilitation in the community of Dairyso. The Barron Health Center will receive support of the BNCF for that reconstruction. And the Saltibus Health Center will also be under reconstruction. And so, Mr. Speaker, in the area of the BNCF, we have targeted some 850 persons over the period of 2005-2006, and we trust that the work of the BNCF will continue to impact directly on the lives of persons within communities. Mr. Speaker, there are a number of new proposals that are being assessed by the BNCF, and within the next few months we will be in a position again to indicate some of the new projects that will be undertaken. Just quickly, Mr. Speaker, to highlight some of the work of the Poverty Reduction Fund, another very important social agency in this country. Over the period 2006-2007, Mr. Speaker, we anticipate that the Poverty Reduction Fund will be able to facilitate the implementation of at least 50 projects throughout our country. During the last year, while the latter part of 2005 was slow in terms of implementation, and that was as a result, Mr. Speaker, of the disbursement of funds. We were still able to achieve the completion of almost 30 projects, and so we anticipate, based on our output last year, that during this year, some 50 projects will be undertaken island-wide to support communities in a very direct way. Just, Mr. Speaker, again, to highlight some of the projects being undertaken by the BNTS, the Balata Multipurpose Court, and those projects are nearing completion. Hopefully, we will see the end of these projects in another few weeks. The Lakai Multipurpose Court, the Jacmel Community Center. And so, to these three communities, Mr. Speaker, I really want to thank the residents of those communities. They have been patient, and I want, on behalf of the Poverty Reduction Fund, to say both to the parliamentary representatives and to the residents of Balata, Lakai, and Jacmel that the delay in those projects were, in a sense, out of our reach. We are now in the process of finalizing and completing the project. I look forward to the day when it will be completed. Your parliamentary representatives have certainly agitated on behalf of these projects, and I am happy to report that we will see the completion of these projects. Mr. Speaker, just some of the projects that we completed during the period and the review. The Millet Varner Multipurpose Center, as I mentioned again, the rehabilitation of the Miku Multipurpose Center, Community Steel Pan Project, Mr. Speaker, I will speak to the Community Steel Pan Project briefly when I come to the Cultural Development Foundation, because that is a very important initiative in terms of cultural building in our country. And the communities of Ansari, Miku, and Denry are the first beneficiaries of that. Patience, Mr. Parliamentary Representative. Mr. Speaker, a very significant project undertaken by the Poverty Reduction Fund in 2005 has been the Mosaic Project. I think you've heard a little bit about it, and members will probably speak to it during the course of the debate. But just to indicate, Mr. Speaker, that Mosaic Project has really brought tremendous relief and positive impact to the lives of the people of Star City, the people of Toowoomba, the people of Bruceville, the people of Mwanidaw, and the people of Bagatelle. Mr. Speaker, if you visit those communities, you will understand for yourself the impact of the landslide slope mitigation project. What that project did, Mr. Speaker, is that it went into those communities, communities with very real and serious issues of landslide and flooding. And we found a realistic and reasonable way, Mr. Speaker, a good solution that brought real relief to those residents. And so if you take a visit to those communities, you will see the installation of proper drainage, support to the residents for guttering, for pipes, and in some instances, Mr. Speaker, water tanks. That project has been a tremendous success. And during last year's budget, the Prime Minister gave some $1.3 million to start the project, and during this year he has pledged again his support to that project. It is a project that I believe we must expand because it is working very well. I would like to see that project taken to communities like Goodlands and maybe Babalo, down to Beaufort and in Denry if necessary, but it has been a success project, and I hope in the coming weeks, Mr. Speaker, the NTN and GIS will assist us to highlight the features of that all-important project. I thank the Minister of Finance for his support because it has really been a tremendous success. Mr. Speaker, I will move quickly to another agency which falls under the portfolio of the Ministry of Social Transformation, and that is the National Conservation Authority. The truth is, Mr. Speaker, that over the last 7 years of the existence of the National Conservation Authority, that authority has made a positive difference in the lives of communities throughout this country. And although, Mr. Speaker, some persons have tried to play the political game with the National Conservation Authority. The NCA is one of the single institutions in this country that has touched every community throughout St. Lucia. There is no community that you can go to today that cannot tell you about the work of the National Conservation Authority. And so, Mr. Speaker, I again want to applaud the Minister of Finance for continuing to support the STEP program, which has been a resounding success, Mr. Speaker. There are people who worked on that STEP program, and today they are working in the government service. They are working in the private sector. They are training themselves. They are at various agencies. These people came out of the STEP program, Mr. Speaker, and we are proud of the success that they have made. Another component of that program has been the National Beautification Program. On an average, during last year, Mr. Speaker, some 2,000 persons were employed on a short-term basis throughout the length and breadth of this country, every community, with no constituency left behind. It amazes me, Mr. Speaker, how on the platforms and in certain places, they speak about no set program, they don't want it. But during the execution of that program, every community, every parliamentarian, without exception, sees the benefits of that program, and they all knock on the doors of the National Conservation Authority. So, Mr. Speaker, today, I want to applaud the work of the authority, because the people working there are St. Lucians, Mr. Speaker, ordinary people, making a wage, Mr. Speaker, for a day's work. And so, Mr. Speaker, I just want to indicate to you the type of impact that that program has had. During last year alone, some 2,000 persons were employed on a short-term basis during the year. And so, Mr. Speaker, simple mathematics. Over the last 7 years, that program has been ongoing, the beautification program, an average of 2,000 people being employed. Almost 14,000 people, Mr. Speaker, have gained short-term employment from the National Conservation Authority. Mr. Speaker, the work of the Conservation Authority includes the upkeep and maintenance of many of our beaches. And this is a very important and critical issue for us. Today, the issue of use of our beaches, space and access, has become quite an issue that is talked about. And it's a real issue, Mr. Speaker. People have now to confront a new reality, an emerging and developing industry, where our visitors are coming to our shores, and part of the reason why they come is that they want to spend time on our lovely beaches. But Mr. Speaker, our beaches are for St. Lucians as well. And as a government, we must continue to find ways to ensure that our people have real access to the beaches. And so this year, we will undertake a very special initiative. We will start at Pigeon Island because we want to pilot the project and ensure that it works and make it a reality.
The Honourable Member has 15 minutes remaining to make her contribution.
Mr. Speaker, that project that I speak about, the beach park facility, we will pilot that project during this year. What that project will do, Mr. Speaker, is that it will provide improvements to the surrounding landscape. It will provide bath and toilet facilities so that ordinary St. Lucians, anybody who wants to use the beach, could go to the beach and have these basic facilities made available to them. And so that pilot project will be undertaken within the coming weeks on Pigeon Island, an area designated, Mr. Speaker, and it will be identified very soon. It will include vending booths and snack facilities. It will include leisure facilities for beach users, meaning St. Lucians. It will include a play area for our children when they come to the beach. And it will also include a new and important feature of safety services. So when our local people go to the beach, they will be provided with security in the form of lifeguards and a lifeguard tower. Mr. Speaker, that project is intended to reach out to our local community in a very real way. So our people, Mr. Speaker, can have proper access and proper facilities. We intend to ensure that this project is duplicated in other on other beaches that are used by our locals, but we want to ensure that when our people go to the beach, they have real access, but also we want them to have real facilities. So the National Conservation Authority will in the next few months ensure that we can see the happening of this project. Mr. Speaker, my ministry is charged with the direct responsibility for overseeing cemeteries. And believe it or not, this has become a very serious issue for our country. And so the time has come, Mr. Speaker, when we must bring dignity and pride to the places where we lay our loved ones to rest. Over the last few weeks and months, the Ministry of Social Transformation and the Ministry of Planning have been engaged in an exercise. They have conducted an inventory of all the cemeteries island-wide. We have discovered that we have some 31 or 32 cemeteries island-wide. The conditions vary and the ownership varies. We have some cemeteries that are publicly owned and managed, some that are privately owned, and also some that are owned and operated by the churches throughout the island. We have some real issues, Mr. Speaker, of space and of land use. And so in the next few weeks, the combined effort of these two ministries will put out for consultation and dialogue with the country the way forward as it relates to the use of cemeteries and providing proper access. And so, Mr. Speaker, I will not go into too much detail, but just to indicate to the country that we have realized that this is a serious issue and we must, as a society, confront it in a real way and ensure that we bring some dignity and pride to the way in which we bury our people. Mr. Speaker, the last agency that I will speak of under my portfolio is the Cultural Development Foundation. The development of culture in St. Lucia is really now at a very crucial juncture. Through the Cultural Development Foundation, a new ethos and emphasis has been introduced over the last 3 years. The popular special events, such as Asu Square and Festival of Life, are being professionally executed by the foundation, and in that regard, I want to thank them. However, Mr. Speaker, we are now driven by a new agenda with a more profound impact. Our renewed trust has three broad objectives. And those objectives, Mr. Speaker, of the Cultural Development Foundation is the promotion of cultural industries, artistic expression, and the decentralization of our traditional cultural program. During the last year, the CDF has deliberately chosen the music industry to spearhead its wider efforts in creating cultural industries. The first logical step has been the refinement of the St. Lucian cultural product to a standard that is exportable and a standard that is competitive. To this end, the program of training has been impressive in the last year, consistent and relevant to the needs of our society and the needs of the international world. The island's top artists have been, over the last year, tutored by some of the best regional and international experts in voice training, dance, visual arts, and theater. One of the concrete and immediate results was the major breakthrough, Mr. Speaker, some months ago by our producer and soca artist during this year's Trinidad Carnival. The exploits of producer Courtney Cutty-Louis with the now famous St. Lucian Rhythm and the brilliance of our own Alpha in the International Soca Monarch competition in Trinidad is vivid testimony of where we are going and where we are taking our music industry. A major initiative during the coming months would be the packaging and presentation of international TV channels, including BET and Tempo, to give some exposure to our local artists. I understand, Mr. Speaker, that this is an invaluable medium for exposing our talent, and presently, the CDF is in partnership with the NDC and the private sector and will later this year stage a special concert along with the release of several new music videos to mark our entry onto the big stage. And so, Mr. Speaker, our local artists are taking their craft and their talent to another level. And so, Mr. Speaker, it is by no accident that the Minister of Finance made an announcement to support cultural industry so that we can develop a type of cultural industry that will link to the type of tourism industry, and so the spill of the economic benefits can be realized in a very direct way. And so, Mr. Speaker, the support of music waiver on musical instruments and equipment is something that the artists have received in a very positive way. There has been much buzz over the last few days. And this now opens, Mr. Speaker, new opportunities for our local artists. Our Daddy Fans, our Mishaks, our Nicole Davis can now take their talent to a new level. We have been speaking of cultural industry, and this is the reality of cultural industry. Our cultural players in every discipline and genre will be further elated, Mr. Speaker, by the new Cultural Enterprise Fund, which the Prime Minister spoke about in his budget presentation, jointly with the CDF and the NDC, a program of direct support to our artists, direct financial support so that they can get off the ground, Mr. Speaker, off the ground with a real, tangible product that can be sold and that can realize some economic benefits for themselves and their families. And so, Mr. Speaker, there is economic benefit in investing in our culture. Mr. Speaker, in the area of artistic expression, I am pleased to note that the Cultural Development Foundation has successfully taken over the work that has been well executed by the MNC Fine Arts Awards Group for the last 25 years, and we continue to thank MNC for their outstanding contribution to St. Lucia in the area of culture. But that National Arts Festival, Mr. Speaker, is an opportunity for the showcasing of excellence through the arts, and is being anchored by the staging of an annual National Arts Festival. Our best creative and performing artists are presently, as I speak, competing in several areas of dance, theatre, visual, literary and traditional arts over a four-week period. The CDF has built certainly on the work of MNC and has indeed taken the celebration of arts and culture to new heights. Importantly, this year, Mr. Speaker, the National Arts Festival will serve as a means for selecting St. Lucia's contingent to Carifesta 9, which will be held in Trinidad and Tobago in September. So we will see the real benefit of the National Arts Festival. Mr. Speaker, I mentioned briefly earlier about the steel pan project being undertaken by the CDF. There is one development that certainly stands out as a model of cultural administration and decentralization, and that is the community steel pan project. At a cost of some $300,000, the CDF and the PRF have jointly established successfully three fully functional steel pans in Anseray, Miku and Denry. And Mr. Speaker, this is arguably one of the most important projects since the inception of the CDF.
The Honourable Member has 5 minutes left to make her contribution.
20 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to invoke Section 30210 to allow the Honourable Member 30 more minutes.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow the Honourable Member an additional 30 minutes to make a contribution. I now put the question, as many are of that opinion, say aye. as many are of a contrary opinion, say no, I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member, leave is granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to say a little more about this steel pan project. What this project is doing, it has been underway in Ansaray, in Nico, and very soon in Denry. During the coming year, the CDF hopes to expand this program, and we have similar projects planned for Lavery, Sodel, Bexar, Soufre, and possibly Bocage. Mr. Speaker, we will ensure, Mr. Speaker, that the project can go and span as far and wide as possible. What I want to say about this project, Mr. Speaker, is that it is engaging young people in a very real way. It's engaging them in positive, productive social activity, but it's also providing economic opportunity for these young people. It is linking cultural industry to tourism industry, and so, Mr. Speaker, in answering today, this steel pan project that has been started is benefiting the Ansaray fish fry, and it is coming together to fine-tune our product and to make sure that St. Lucia can offer a type of product that is world-class. But it's also touching the lives of young people in a real way. It's taking some of our young people off the streets, getting them involved in productive social activity. And so this is one of the hallmark projects for the Cultural Development Foundation. It is a project that we are going to push to ensure that as far as possible, we can bring steel pan to communities and so that they can benefit in a real way. What will happen, Mr. Speaker, in the next few months with the advent of a number of new hotel properties, we will have a number of young people who are skilled, Mr. Speaker, who can go to those hotels and play. That, in a tangible way, that means a $500-$600 for them for performance at these hotels and for getting involved in direct activity. Mr. Speaker, the Cultural Development Foundation is certainly poised and sits on the threshold of making St. Lucia's cultural landscape recognizable on the international stage. It is poised to ensure that through World Cup 2007, through CSME, through Carifesta and beyond, that we will prove that our arts and culture belongs on the world stage and certainly deserves a more central place in the national and economic social planning of our country, as we believe that cultural industry is certainly yet another important area for development as we move forward. Mr. Speaker, much has been said about the agencies of my ministry, and because of time, I will not go into all of the details, but just to indicate that over the last year, we have been engaged in activities of finding meaningful mechanisms to touch the lives of people of our communities. During this year, all of these social agencies will continue their efforts in very real ways to continue to ensure that we find ways of eradicating poverty within our society, to ensure that we achieve our objective of having every single St. Lucian entitled to a dignified quality of life. That is the simple objective of the Ministry of Social Transformation. Mr. Speaker, the constituency of Castries Southeast have not been left out of this budget debate, and it is always opportune for one to reflect on one's stewardship to the people whom we serve during budget debates. Over the past 9 years, Mr. Speaker, my mission has been simple: to find meaningful ways to improve the quality of life of the people whom I serve in Castries Southeast. The truth is, Mr. Speaker, that job is not quite complete, and I intend, with the support of the people of Castries Southeast, to continue to serve them during the months and years ahead. Mr. Speaker, that job of service to the people of my constituency is well on its way. And when I reflect on the last 9 years, I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, that Castries Southeast is today not what it was in 1997. I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, that when I look back, I see meaningful progress. I see work to be done, but I see, Mr. Speaker, that we are certainly not where we were in 1997. I respect, Mr. Speaker, on health care, a very basic service to the people of my constituency. Mr. Speaker, I am sure that the Minister of Health will speak about this tomorrow. But for many people, you may not realize that it is in some instances, in over 40 years, our health centers have not received any type of attention. In over 40 years. And so I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, that it is under my tenure during the reign of this administration that we are saying that our basic health services, health centers, where our senior citizens go, where our young pregnant mothers go, where our children go, we have to bring some dignity to those service institutions. And as I speak, both the Bexar Health Center and the Lacomingo Center are receiving attention. They are being upgraded. Something that has not been done in over 40 years. You know my age, Mr. Speaker. So 40 and my age, you can well understand how long these health centers have not received any attention. Mr. Speaker, over the last 9 years, I have sought to ensure that I provide a full service to the people of my constituency. Something that we today take for granted in almost every constituency, certainly those under the leadership of the government, provide full-time constituency office service. And so today, you go to the constituency of Castries Southeast, and Mr. Speaker, I have provided in the last year for the people of my constituency a constituency office and an information center and computer access to our young people and citizens of the community, residents of the community, a place where they can come in, where they can talk with their parliamentary representative, where they can dialogue, where they can speak about the issues that confront them, and where we can find meaningful and realistic ways to deal with their issues. I mention that, Mr. Speaker, because it is that experience of the last 9 years sitting in that constituency office, interacting with residents of the constituency, learning from the experience of the people who live in those communities, that has given me the opportunity to appreciate the challenges that are confronting the people of Castries Southeast. And so it is through that type of dialogue, those persons who have taken the time to come in and speak with me, I have been able to understand, Mr. Speaker, the real issues confronting our senior citizens. And so when the Prime Minister made the announcement that there will be free medication for persons who have issues with diabetic and persons who suffer with hypertension, I am pleased because many of the persons who knock on the door of my constituency office are persons in need of that type of care. And so in the Prime Minister's budget, he has responded to a direct and real need of the people of my constituency, and I am sure the people of St. Lucia. And so, Mr. Speaker, tonight, that senior citizen, that lady, that man who suffers with diabetes and hypertension, this government says that we understand the challenge that you face. We understand that health care is important, and so we are providing a real benefit to you. Mr. Speaker, I am touched on each occasion where I meet, albeit not with many, but with senior citizens in our community, certainly in my constituency, who cannot provide for themselves, who are left without the care and support of their families. And so an institution, Mr. Speaker, like Margaret Tooth, becomes a real hope for them. And so the construction of the new senior citizens' home will bring benefit to the people of my constituency as well. Because there are people who live in my constituency who today are without family care and without support, and these people can be accommodated in that area. But Mr. Speaker, my hope and my dream is to one day have a senior citizens' home somewhere in the constituency of Castries Southeast. But that is a part of a long-term vision. I hope that one day it will be realized. In the meantime, Mr. Speaker, the construction of the new senior citizens' home in Beaufort will benefit St. Lucians from around the island. Mr. Speaker, the home repair program has benefited people in my constituency. It has benefited the residents of Cooleytown. It has benefited people in Starrot. It has benefited people in Robin Paso. And time does not allow me to go into all of it. But I am pleased, Mr. Speaker, that the Prime Minister again announced support for home repairs and home building for the elderly, because again, there are some very real issues confronting our society. I think now of the community of Starrot, I think of the community of Susi, where there are a number of senior citizens who live on their own and who truly require that type of support to assist them to repair their homes so that they can live in peace and in a truly dignified manner. So I will be knocking on the door of the Minister of Health to ensure that I am able to access for my people that type of real support that is needed. Mr. Speaker, I represent a constituency in the heart of the Banana Belt, and it is probably very good that I am speaking after the Minister of Agriculture, because I do not need to go over what he has said. But Mr. Speaker, I would like to say, Mr. Speaker, that it is true that the past 9 years have been challenging. And I meet farmers every day, large farmers, small farmers, and I particularly feel the concern for many of our small farmers. Our banana industry has taken a beating over the past few years. But, Mr. Speaker, the banana industry should not be a place for playing cheap politics. And because I live in the Banana Belt, and I meet with farmers every day, and I know the efforts that this government has made over the last few years, all these, Mr. Speaker, we still have a very challenging issue to deal with. But the truth is, it is unfair to say that this government has neglected or abandoned our farmers. This is an unfair and untrue statement, and I know that the farmers at the right time will respond in a real way to the comments that are being made by persons which are fairly untrue. Mr. Speaker, I continue to feel for the plight of the farmers, and I hope that during this year, as outlined by the Prime Minister, that we will continue to provide some specific tangible support to the farmers. One of the major areas of concern is the road network for the farmers, providing proper access to their farms so that they can get on their lands and that they can produce their fruit. And I will be knocking on the door of the Minister of Agriculture. In fact, Mr. Speaker, I have knocked on his door, and we have agreed that some of the critical farm roads will receive some attention, and I know that the farmers of my constituency will be happy, because in the next few weeks they can get some relief in a much needed area. Mr. Speaker, an area of concern to me in my constituency has always been the issue of housing. And I trust that the government can continue to find ways to provide reasonable access to housing for our citizens. Many people knock on the door of my constituency office, Mr. Speaker, on a weekly basis, seeking to find a plot of land or an area on which they can erect their homes, a place for them to live. While we have made significant strides, that still remains a concern. But I am happy to be able to say today that over the last few years, we have made some significant achievements. And through the PROUD program, Mr. Speaker, the residents of Wabin Paso, the residents of Bexar, Starrot, now have title and access to the land on which they have occupied for so many years. Mr. Speaker, those people have lived there all their lives. And if you do not understand the impact of that program, take a drive down to the East Coast. The road is being rehabilitated now, Mr. Speaker, which I will mention briefly. But when you get to the community of Wabin Paso, you will see presently what's going on to ensure that that community can never ever be the same again. That project is truly an outstanding project, but more importantly, we have ensured that the people have gotten what they deserve. And so the residents of Wabin Paso, Starrot, Bexar, today they have title to lands on which they live for many, many years. They can walk into the bank, they can take a a loan, they can do something, they can improve the quality of their housing, and that program is also providing direct infrastructural support. So when you drive down to Bexar, Mr. Speaker, just look to your left and look to your right. You will see the type of development that is taking place there. That is the commencement of something that we hope to continue. We haven't only done that in the area of housing in Castries Southeast. In fact, there were lands, Mr. Speaker, in Goodland, Sioux City, those areas, for many years under the control of Geese. Today, Mr. Speaker, these residents have title to their land, and these residents are in a better situation than they were many years ago. So we have made strides, Mr. Speaker. We have made strides, and the people of Castries Southeast are certainly not the way they used to be a long time ago. Mr. Speaker, in the area of education, which is a very critical area to me, every school is within the constituency of Castries Southeast has been or will very shortly receive attention by the Ministry of Education. I believe that one of the keys to the development of that constituency is to ensure the education of our young people. And so I am very happy to report that the Forestier School, the Forestier Methodist School, will receive the upgrades that they have been seeking for the last year. A work will start, hopefully, Mr. Speaker, very shortly on the Forestier Methodist School. As I speak, the upgrade of the T. Roche Combined School, a school that is shared by the parliamentary representative for Castries East and myself, is being upgraded and extended. Mr. Speaker, in addition to that, the Otsa Primary School is receiving the attention of the Ministry of Education, and we will be doing some serious renovations to that school. I believe it has started. We have received support from social agencies before, but the work that requires to be undertaken is a lot more intense, and the Ministry of Education has been supporting, and we are seeing the upgrades to the Otter School. To the Bexar Infant School, we have received support from the Basic Needs Trust Fund to see upgrades to that school. But Mr. Speaker, we are concerned. Just for information, Mr. Speaker, at the T. Roche Combined School alone, some $1.2 million is being spent investing in education of our children. Mr. Speaker, the Bexar Primary School, Mr. Speaker, is an area of concern to me. Over the last year, there is a critical issue confronting that school, and I trust that between the Ministry of Communication and Works and the Ministry of Education, we can find a real long-term solution to the problem confronting the Bexar Primary School. The school has an issue of access, Mr. Speaker, and I want to ensure that the teachers and the students and the parents of those students can feel safe and comfortable to send their children to school, Mr. Minister of Communication and Works. And so I look forward to, in the coming months, ensuring that we can put in a proper access bridge to that school so that the students can feel safe, and that the Ministry of Education will put on the cards consideration for the extension and expansion of the Bexar Primary School, because it has become a real need. Mr. Speaker, we are investing in the training of our youth, and so when the Prime Minister announced the $2 million to go into training of youth, and he indicated that initially some 700 young people will be trained, I look forward to, Mr. Speaker, a number of young people from the Castries Southeast constituency getting a real opportunity for training. Many of them have already knocked on our doors. Quite a few of them, Mr. Speaker, have already received training, and the areas that are being offered by the NSDC are areas of interest to them. Mr. Speaker, just to note that we have, over the last few years, through the Ministry of Education, conducted adult literacy programs. And today they are senior citizens and others who could not write their name, who could not write their name and go and walk into a bank. That has been the result of an adult education program. And so, Mr. Speaker, that is yet another way in which we're trying to improve the lives of our children. Today, the children of farmers from my constituency are graduates of university from around the Caribbean and even beyond. These children of farmers, Mr. Speaker, are now exploring new sectors and are now becoming involved in other types of activity, including agricultural activity. And that is the type of growth and development that is taking place within that community. I just wanted, Mr. Speaker, to highlight some of the very positive things happening in my constituency as it relates to youth development. I believe every year during the budget, I mention one or two of our really outstanding community groups. I was able to talk, Mr. Speaker, last year or year before about our Labe Youth Choir, some 50 young people engaging in positive activity. I'm very happy to talk about the existence of the Page Club in Bexar, a very active youth organization, very vibrant, engaging the young people of our community in positive activity. Just a few weeks ago, Mr. Speaker, the youth of the Goodlands community engaged in their first ever Miss Goodlands pageant. That is positive activity being engaged in by the youth of our community. I make that point to say, Mr. Speaker, that still today in St. Lucia, the majority of our young people are positive, decent citizens, and we must continue to encourage them and continue to encourage the type of activity that will foster their growth and development. In the areas of water and electricity, Mr. Speaker, I will not go into the detail of that, but just to say that we are not the same like we were in 1997. You take a drive in Castries, through Castries Southeast today, and there is electricity almost in every nook and cranny of that constituency. A number of communities were without access to water and electricity, and today that issue is no more. We still have some pressing issues as they relate to water, Mr. Speaker, and I hope that with the plans afoot for water supply, that we will see every single community having real access to water. Very simple things, Mr. Speaker. In some communities, we need to change from 2-inch pipes to 4-inch pipes. In some, we need to go to 6-inch pipes. In some, we need to provide tanks, and I hope that we can do so over a period of time. The reality is, we have not been able to achieve all of them, but we have done a significant number. In the area of sports development, we have seen some of that. Time does not permit me to go into all of the details, but just to mention, Mr. Speaker, that two of the courts in my constituency, Lucerne, have indicated playing courts in my constituency, namely in Bexar and Robin Poisson. Lucerne have committed to ensuring the lighting of those courts, and I hope within the next few weeks to see Lucille coming through on its promise to ensure the lighting of those courts. As I speak, we have started the upgrade of the playing field at Bexar, because the vision for that community is that Bexar will become the mecca for sporting activity within the basin of Castries Southeast. So we are developing and upgrading the playing field, which is there. So, Mr. Speaker, in the next few weeks, you will see some work taking place in the Bexar community, because there is a vision. While the other communities have playing fields, not all of them have playing fields, Mr. Speaker. Some of them, I would love to be able to find a way to put a playing field, but realistically, the terrain of the land and the topography doesn't allow for it. In some areas, we simply don't have the space to do it. But we are seeking to develop Bexar as the base for sporting activity. But throughout the constituency, we are hoping to have a long-term plan for the development of sporting activity, as we have some outstanding sports persons within the constituency. Mr. Speaker, lastly, I just want to mention the revolution that is taking place in road infrastructure in Castries Southeast. If you drive tonight, Mr. Speaker, you will see the rehabilitation of the cul-de-sac bodily road, that will bring a tremendous difference to the life of those people. Never again, Mr. Speaker, will that East Coast Road be, like it used to be. And Mr. Speaker, we're not just resurfacing the road. We are ensuring that we deal with the real issues that confront the residents. And so if you drive there tonight, Mr. Speaker, you will see work taking place. New culverts are being put in. Drainage is being put in. And I hope, Mr. Speaker, I hope within the next few months, I will see the commencement of the sidewalks for the residents of the Bexar community, particularly to benefit the children who walk on that road every day. There are at least 6 schools within that zone, and I am anxious for the completion of that project as I want to see the Bexar sidewalk project completed. Mr. Speaker, I am very anxious about that. As I speak tonight, we have started the rehabilitation of the Cooley Town Road, a very important project for us in the constituency, and the residents are particularly happy. Tonight, Mr. Speaker, you can drive on the Tuapito Road, a road that was completed some time ago. The residents of that community are truly happy for that infrastructure. As I indicated earlier, there is the ongoing project with the upgrade to the Forestier Main Road, something that never happened before. And within the next few months, the residents of Forestier will receive a spanking new road after we would have completed the water project. Mr. Speaker, they'll have to run away. Mr. Speaker, in the community of Bele, the Ministry of Communication and Works have started the Bele Road. That road is not complete, and I look forward to the Ministry of Works ensuring that the residents of Bele get what they deserve. I hope that we will see that this year. Having said all that, Mr. Speaker, there are a number of roads that have not received attention. I have made a plea to the Ministry of Communication and Works. I will make a plea to the Minister of Finance so that we can see some relief being brought to the residents of Sandy Fay, the residents of Bele, the residents of Saros, the residents of Susi, Mr. Speaker. They need some attention to their road. The residents of Therefore have had a serious issue as it relates to the access to their roads. In the community of Tiroche, there is a farm road there, Mr. Speaker. A number of farmers in that community. It's called Marlow, Mr. Minister of Communication and Works. And in the community of Badami, there is a special road called the Derbar Road. I have taken the Minister of Communication and Works there. And I hope that I will see in the not-too-distant future some real relief to the people of these communities. Mr. Speaker, there is much more that I can say about my constituency, but I will pause there and leave it for another time and another place. And so, Mr. Speaker, I want to simply say that truly this government, this Prime Minister, this Minister of Finance, we are modernizing this country. We are expanding this economy. We are growing. We are building. I believe, Mr. Speaker, we are certainly moving in the right direction. And I say, as I said a few years ago, judge this government on performance. Judge this Prime Minister on performance. I say to you, judge this minister on performance. Judge this parliamentary representative on performance. Mr. Speaker, I give my resounding support to the Appropriation Bill 2006-2007.